This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
6140 Run in Galesburg. Your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started back in 1979. I'm Jim Taylor. Ty Taylor is alongside. We also have an in-studio guest, Kate Engwall, announcing her resignation as girls' head basketball coach. We'll get to her here momentarily. Ty, any opening comments on the program today? We were on location last week at the State Farm Center. You broke the big story on the shot clock. Coming in 3 years, I think there were like 61,000 views on the Twitter post. On that, have you heard much reaction on that?
Not really, no. I mean, I think it's a vast majority of people are excited for it. You know, I think you saw a couple of games like in the state tournament where there were multiple minutes where teams would just kill clock. And I think, you know, for the fan perspective, people don't really enjoy watching that. So I think for the viewing perspective, I think it'll help a little bit, but still, you know, we're a little bit away from getting there. But I think probably more and more tournaments and shootouts will be using it now that they know that it is coming in the next couple of years.
So what Kurt Gibson indicated to us was, the athletic directors in the area. Well, the new one is Brock Boehner at Rockridge, Dustin Murray at Mercer County, and the Sherrard AD, Lisa, what's her name?
Emmendorfer.
Basically, they need to order the infrastructure right for the shot clock to get it in here within the next year, probably, because it's coming, to at least experimentally try to use it at the local site in some of these opportunities to get accustomed to before it becomes, as they say, law, a rule of the game, right?
Yeah, and then, like you said, you know, I think 26, 27 is when they're pointing at it being a part of the postseason run, too. So, yeah, I would say got to get some experience like running it, too, because that's going to be something, too, where you need somebody to do it and know what they're doing, too, because it's a different, you know, whole set of rules that the high school game isn't accustomed to yet.
But for me, in those games last week, the irony was you would think the shot clock would benefit the team that was holding the ball the most. You know, those games where the teams that are leading, they kind of bleed the clock, but it's like their style of play, it would benefit them by not doing that. And then the team they're playing against that's the underdog, they should be the team right that's holding the ball, and they're not. So I don't get. I'm still not sold on the shot clock at the high school level. And then I'm still trying to figure out. Then is it administered? Then we doing it at the JV level? We doing it at all levels? Or how's that going to work?
Yeah, I don't know. They haven't. I mean, they're still a few years away from getting there, so I'm sure they'll figure that stuff out at some point.
And we'll get Coach Engwall's reaction to that too. Now, I know we have our first couple of spring sports broadcasts next week. Monday, softball, Mercer County, Rockridge. Tuesday is baseball, Sherrard and
Rock Island.
Yeah, Sherrard and Rock Island. So it's amazing that Rockridge hasn't played a game.
I know.
They won three state titles. Mm-hmm. What are they playing?
Yeah, everyone's
you think they'd have
see
like 15 games in by
I know,
now.
But I know.
I know the kids got to be going crazy waiting in the new head coach, Coach Durbin. Right. All right, so we'll take our first break, and then we'll come back here and talk to Kate Engwall on the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copy or printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now, Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes, Hey Dudes, on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
All right, Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor, back on the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. And with us is Kate Engwall, whose name, it's interesting, her name is on the Mercer County Board of Education meeting this week as resigning from the girls' basketball head coaching position. But then I also see on the Mercer County School Board agenda this week, we're getting a new high school basketball floor in the main gymnasium. So she's probably going to take a resignation back now because we're getting a new floor and stay on as head coach. No, but seriously, I know it always has to be a tough decision when you finally say, hey, I'm going to step down, because I always tell people there's a lot of personal, when you're a head coach, there's a lot of personal equity that you have to give to those type of positions, especially in today's culture more so than ever. How tough was it to finally kind of type the letter and say, yeah, it's time for me to kind of step away from the game?
It was, and I've said this to multiple people who've asked over the last week, but like not an understatement to say that was probably one of the more difficult decisions I've ever made in my life, because like you said, like, unless you've done it yourself, I don't think that people understand just how much time and effort and energy and commitment and dedication and all those fun words, just how much it takes to run a high school athletic program the right way. And it was a situation where I have known myself. I did have the thought, you know, probably starting the end of last season, last off season, and maybe last fall, I allowed myself to like process some thoughts about it. And I thought I would, you know, I anticipated that this year would be my last year, but was leaving the door, like I didn't tell anybody, I was leaving the door open to have something happen that might change my mind or change my heart about it. And there was a lot of times throughout the season where I went home and I'm like, I love this too much. I don't know how I could ever step away. But there was more instances where I'm like, no, what I'm feeling right now, it's right. Like, it's right for me. And it was funny. Like, so that was last fall that I made the decision for myself. And then I didn't allow myself to process any thoughts or feelings about it until about a week ago. And it was just like an absolute complete emotional disaster for the last couple weeks or last week.
Well, yeah, you talk about there kind of like, you know, how much goes into it. So when you look at like, you know, making the decision to say, okay, I am going to step away, like, what were some of the key factors, do you think, where you looked and said, okay, yeah, it is time for me to step away from this?
So one of the things is it's a year-round thing. Like, sure, our season got over in February, but right now I should be planning summer stuff. And then especially, you know, each year you have a brand new team. And unlike the college game where you're bringing in recruits that you know fit a certain style of play, and part of the cool thing about high school is you have a kind of a new set of kids every year, and you need to adapt what you're doing to kind of best suit the kids you're going to have. So I would always put a ton of time and effort into, okay, what are we going to do over the summer? And then still already thinking ahead to next year. So there's just so much time and effort. And one thing I noticed, I think one of the things that maybe really kind of got my thoughts going on this was not this past season, the one before, I put more time and effort into planning what I thought was going to work best for that team. Like, I can't count the hours that I put in. And then we got like a month into the season. And, you know, I worked with my coaches and everything. Like, we were sold. And we get a month into the season. We're like, not one single freaking thing that we had planned is like working out at all. And so, like, that's just so deflating. And that's part of it. I get it. But, like, I think I realized in that moment too that, like, I had kind of hit a point where I also wasn't necessarily enjoying the prep work that goes into it the way I used to. And that's so much of it that makes a huge difference. So that was like kind of one of the big factors. And then I would say the other factor is, and it's not a secret, I think we're going to be rebuilding next year. But with a lot of promise in the up and coming freshmen. So the more I kind of thought about it, and it was probably just me trying to justify my decision as well, it's kind of like there's never a good time to do it. But in terms of like giving someone like a real true fresh start, like, cause it was going to be a fresh start next year. We were really going to have to change a lot of things. So, that played into it as well. Like 5 years ago, I would have loved the opportunity that like next year and the next 4 years presents. But thinking of that over the last, you know, several months gave me like far more anxiety than excitement. And so that just kind of solidified too. Like, this is a perfect time to let someone else come in, start fresh, and, you know, have their turn to, I guess, build from the ground up or whatever. Posted several times.
And then I guess on the like flip side of that, what was like the hardest thing for you to look at and maybe kind of held you from like saying, oh, maybe I do want to keep doing this? So what was like the hardest part about making this decision, you think, for you?
Hands down, just the relationships with the girls. Like, when I first got into this too, like, I look back now and I'm like, you had no idea what you were doing. You know, like, I don't think I was really clear. Like, I had some goals in mind, but like the one thing I guess I knew would be a factor, but I didn't expect like how impactful it would be the relationships that you build with the girls, the relationships you build with your coaches, and even like the two of you guys, or like I had mentioned that Jay Hatch wrote me a really nice email. That's like awesome. The relationships you build with people who otherwise may have never really crossed your path. So that, like, hands down was something that, like, more than anything had me, are you sure you wanted, you know, you're going to have to give that up. And so that was tough.
Well, and I think you talk about, like, the relationships you build. I think about, like, so, you know, the players you coached. So you go to, like, and maybe it's tough to put in perspective sometimes, but if you're like self-reflective and say, well, man, I coached Emma Coulter and here I am at her wedding. And I know I've talked to a lot of coaches that have been at it for a long time, that's at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about, because you can't remember like every game you coached, like, for example, Emma Coulter, right?
Right.
Or every practice, but you can remember, I remember the day she got married and she asked me to go to that wedding. So I think those are the kind of the moments you're reflective on of, man, I've had an impact in this person's life and this person has had an impact on my life. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the coolest thing to me is for the last 2 years, Emma Coulter and Bailey Blazer have been on my staff, and so I've been doing this for 12 years and they were with me for my first five as players. I had them in eighth grade, and then that class, I moved up to high school with them and was with them for all 4 years. They went off to college, did their thing, and then I, you know, was lucky enough that, one, they wanted to come back, and, you know, two, they were just a perfect fit for it. But it's not – so, like, there's that part of it, but like you said, like, I'm thankful that I at least did it long enough that I get to have the benefit of kind of the back end of that where, yeah, I did get to go to Emma Coulter's wedding, and I do expect an invite to Tess Taylor's wedding. Like,
I'm hoping I get one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know.
Well, and I look at, like, what you're explaining about the commitment that it takes, not just for you as a varsity coach, but everybody. And I think sometimes we take for granted when we show up to whatever event, and this is just here. If you said it was just coaching 31 games, that's it, I'm cool. I could probably do that for forever. But all the other stuff that is required now to be a coach. And then you're constantly, like you said, second guessing, hey, are we doing too much? Are we not doing, are we doing too much? Are we not doing not enough or whatever, however you want to frame it. And then, you know, always there's going to be, with the strategy, the second guessing, not only with yourself, but then if there's always exceptions to every rule with somebody that's unhappy about something. And I know coaches that have to deal with today's environment of social media, that's a completely different animal. Because I think that's why a lot, because you lasted as head coach how many years?
9 as head coach.
That's a long time in today's environment. Mm-hmm. Because I know, really, since I've started doing this, that's basically, to me, kind of the mark of, if you get 10 years, man, you've done it a long time. That equates to, like, in my opinion, maybe 30 years back in the 70s, just because of all the other balls that are up in the air with doing this type of stuff. So if it was just like how I explained it, that, hey, it's just, I just got to coach, I don't got to do anything else with all this other administrative stuff or whatever we have to deal with the program, do you think you could last a little longer?
Absolutely. Yeah, hands down. And I remember, too, when I got hired, it was Mr. Zunkel, was the AD at the time, and when I, you know, had my interview, he stressed, like, because they'd had some turnover, and it was not that long after, you know, Lido and Westmer consolidated, and he stressed, like, I need a 10-year coach. We can't keep having turnover. And I remember thinking at that time, like, it's like the easiest thing I've ever heard of. Like, yeah, I'll do this for 10 years. And then you get, you know, a few years in and really get an understanding of what there is to it. And, yeah, it's a lot. But, yeah, if it was just coaching, you know, practice and coach those games and then see again next November, yeah, for sure I'd have more in me.
And it was 12 years total in the
12
program.
12 total, yeah.
So, like, when you look at that, I mean, 12 years is a long time. That's basically, you know, from kindergarten to graduating high school, right? So can you kind of, like, quantify, like, looking back over 12 years? I mean, that's been a huge part of your life, has been coaching basketball. And now with that, you know, being something that's over now, I mean, how do you look back at that? And what's kind of, what's your reflection like at the end of it now?
Like, and this is the way that my brain works. Like, I can't tell you what our record was in any one of those 12 years. You know, there's some games that I remember that were special for various reasons. But, like, I don't know my overall coaching record. So it's, like, none of that stuff. But as one of the things I was been reflecting on is, like, all the different, like, life things that go on over the course of those 12 years that, like, the kids are with you, you know? So, like, I know Alyssa Hess had a nice comment about, like, we've been to each other's, like, family members' funerals. And, like, I've had to put 2 dogs down during the time I've been there. And all those girls know how I'm, like, a crazy dog and cat mom. So, like, that's a big deal for me. One of my, like, this is just such a stupid thing, but it's one of the big things. Is I had to put 1 dog down and I have 1 left and he's very sad. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I guess I should get a cat. And I remember I was at practice when I got the call from the shelter that said, you got the cat. And I remember I just said, I'm going to be a mom. Like, everybody starts screaming and celebrating. So it's just like, those are the kinds of things that, like, I remember.
Oh,
just those
memory.
Like those life events that have absolutely nothing to do with basketball, but you celebrate them together with that group because that's who you're with most of the time for the better part of 4 months.
So that's the perfect segue. And I thought, like, the best tribute to you this week was by your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to, I told Ty, I said, I had to bring Taylor Engwall in here and make her read that post. Or better yet, I should make you read that post.
I don't
think I could. And I read that and I'm like, well, you know, that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the other post your dad posted about that sign in your house about your mom. Oh, man. I'm like, those type of, like, messages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's like, wow, how awesome is that?
It's funny. Like, growing up, we joked all the time. Like, neither my mom or my dad was into athletics. Taylor was into, like, the art and band scene. She had, like, a one-summer basketball career when she was little because, like, she fell and broke her foot and was like, well, guess that's that. So, like, we always would joke, like, no one, like, I assume it came from my grandpa. He was a good athlete going through Aledo, but, you know, the joke in the house was, where did this come from? You know, so, like, what Taylor said was right. Like, she had, you know, no passion for basketball there, but it really was like a family thing, you know, like I remember when I got my first basketball hoop and they, you know, grandpa came over and helped dad put it up while I was at school one day and I couldn't wait to get home and play on it. And I had that same hoop. We dug it up. And when we moved to a different home at some point in my childhood, like they dug it up and brought it to the other house and my dad would draw the stencil, the court on it every year. And then it got dirty and disgusting. And I remember we cleaned the backboard and painted it. But yeah, Taylor would, we'd go out and shoot and it was non-competitive. I even remember like my mom would play horse with me. So it was just cool stuff like that. And they never missed a game or a practice. And Taylor got drug along to all of that as well. And even when I went on to college, it's a lot different then because your away games are 3, 4, 5 hours away, at least in the CCIW, I played at Augie. And they miss very few of those. Like they would miss the weekday away games, but everything else they were at. So it really, truly always has been a family affair. And I do think that, you know, what Taylor says is true. She really never appreciated it the way I do until I got to the other side of the, you know, coaching part of it.
Well, and you talked about like earlier, you know, being able to build relationships with the kids as you, but I think on the flip side too, like you coaching has allowed a lot of people to like meet your family, right?
Yeah.
Build relationships with them. Or like for me, you know, through basketball, I've got to know you and then Taylor and your dad and like Tammy Tizer is just the best person to ever meet too. So with that, I mean, I'm sure it's pretty cool for you seeing that on both sides too, or through you coaching too. I think your family has been able to build some more relationships with people who maybe they wouldn't have really met or known otherwise.
Absolutely. A lot of the girls go to have Taylor do their hair.
So do I.
Like, see, and you know, Tammy is my chosen family and she was at every game supporting me, you know, just as much as, you know, my blood family. So, she's got great relationships with the kids. My dad subs for the district now. So like they know him, you know, the girls know him in a different way. And, you know, it was funny when he first started, he'd text and, you know, he'd be like, you know, pick a girl. I have Tess Taylor in class today, you know, like, so, it has, that part of it has definitely been cool because I think it's like a cliche catchy thing to say is like these kids and their families become your families, but like, that's not a lie. That actually does become the case.
Well, let's take another break because I want to. We got plenty more to get into here. And by the way, we're coming to you 1 hour early today. And then they're gonna at 8:59:59. They're gonna push Kate Engel out the door so we can get to
with
the
her walking boot on. She's out of surgery yesterday.
That's the other thing. You talk about that. Red Badge of Courage today had surgery yesterday, probably on OxyContin this morning or pain medication. And as Ty mentioned, a boot on her leg, but great to have her in studio. More coming up on WRMJ.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony. Built to keep you stable and comfortable, the Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony, featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
All right, back on the WMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. Great to have Kate Engwall in studio with us, stepping down as Mercer County girls basketball coach. You said, I wanted to talk about a couple other things, but it was interesting. You played at Augie, CCIW, And I was telling Coach Engwell off the air here this morning that the last couple of years, I think one of the great things the program has done here is with the Missouri Valley Conference Women's Tournament, you get a group, you kind of organize kind of a night for the kids to go up there to watch the games. And, you know, I know Missouri Valley Conference isn't, okay, high level. It's not, you know, South Carolina, LSU, Dawn Staley, Kim Mulkey getting in fights at the game or whatever they did this week. Or, you know, it's not Caitlin Clark type of stuff. But it, you know, if you're there in person and you're watching that level of D1 basketball, I just like watching yesterday. I'm like, man, it really, because you think, man, I've seen a lot of good players at the high school level, especially a small school, but I'm like, they're still not good enough to play at that level of basketball. And I always like to see as much as possible. And I think some people don't realize what it takes to really play at the next level. So what I always say, there's a lot of people, it's a big world, and a lot of people just go to certain local things and they think, well, man, these kids are so good. And they are. But I think sometimes we don't realize, man, what it really takes to play at the next level, the really commitment you have to play at that next level. And you kind of experience that playing at Augie. You think people understand that?
No, absolutely not. I think it's just easy to think, like, I'm the best player on my team. Of course I could play at the next level. And that's just not the case, though, you know, especially like, you know, I just went D3, but I did not roll in there and start my freshman year or even my sophomore year, you know. It took a full year before I could really crack a lineup on a consistent basis. And, yeah, it's a job, you know, the practices, it's not just show up from, you know, 3:30 to 5:30 and see you tomorrow. There's so much more, you know, that goes into it. It's year round, you know, just the strength training and a lot more focus on your classes. We were talking off air, the travel's another thing. Yeah. Like even for, you know, a small conference like Augie was in. But yeah, it's seeing, you know, and I guess first two, I want to give, credit to Craig McPeak, because organizing that on a year-to-year basis was kind of his idea. I just help him put it together. So that's always one of my favorite nights of the year.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, just getting the experience and to see what that level is like. And now I know, and it's easy. I tell people it's easy to sit and watch a lot of games in from a television standpoint where you think, well, well, because those type of athletes make it look so easy sometimes, but you don't realize, like as you say, until you see it in person, what it, like, in my opinion, like, that for me is really important to see. This is the style of play you see. This is the type of athlete. This is the type of speed. This is the type of strength. When you see that in person, it's a lot different. And you're like, I got to play this 33 times a year against this type of competition.
Just the skill level in and of itself is so impressive, but being able to do that successfully at the speed in which they do it, you know, at that level, is that and the strength thing, I think are things that, at the high school level, you watch it on TV and you think, oh, sure, you know, like I said, I'm big dog on my team. I'll move up and do that. But yeah, it's just not the same.
Well, I think that kind of rolls like kind of nicely into like looking at the game of like girls or women's basketball as a whole. Now, I think like right now it's about as popular as it's ever been, like especially at the collegiate level with, you know, you talk about like Caitlin Clark at Iowa, and then some of the schools in the SEC are getting a lot of, like, you know, you see the crowds are huge and there's a lot of coverage. But I still think like when you look at the high school level, the participation numbers haven't like spiked yet. I think maybe that's an effect that could be down the road. But like overall, as you've seen it, you know, because when you took over, was it the year before you were the head coach, is when there was 12 kids in the whole program?
Yeah, my first year as the JV coach, there was 12 girls in the whole program.
So, like, as you've, you know, been through the program now for 12 years, have you seen, what's, like, the shift been like in terms of, like, just the state of girls' basketball as a whole, you think? Has it been something that's changed much?
So, I'll talk about Mercer County specifically first, and then maybe a big picture, but, like we were talking when I told my coaches of my decision, you know, we were having just a really nice conversation, and I'll give a shout out to them before I dig in. So Dennis Clark and Ty Gobin, When I got the head job, they both independently had just sent me texts. And I would preface this by saying I knew them both. I didn't really know them both. So, like, I think Dennis was maybe the first one that texted me. And he's like, hey, saw you got the job. I'd love to help if you need it. And I remember sending a screenshot to Taylor and being like, who's this guy? He's okay. You know, is he all right? And so Taylor signed off. And I was like, I'd love all the help I can get. And Ty did the same thing. Dennis has been with me all of my 9 years that I've been a head coach, and Ty has been with me for 7 of those. He stepped away for 2 to go finish school up at Northern, and then for 3 of his 7 years, he was served as a JV coach. But we were talking, like, when we first started, people were laughing at us, you know, like, we'd go play games, and we just weren't very good. And, you know, people were laughing. And what was kind of worse than that is that we didn't necessarily care, you know? And so a big part of what we wanted to do was, like, God, we just need to get us proud of what we're doing. Like, we don't even need to win games, just be proud of the way we're playing. So that was a big focus for us, was just getting the girls. One, can we get these girls to play hard? Can we get them to communicate? Because that translates to, you know, communication in and of itself. Like, I'm just saying, when I say good morning to you, will you say it back and let's have a little dialogue, you know? Like, it starts there, and then we can translate that onto the court. So, like, we had really small goals like that, that we knew were building up to just being proud of the product that you're putting on the floor and the work that you've put in. And that was awesome. So, like, we saw the Mercer County program over the last 12 years. Yeah, it's grown. But I think girls basketball as a whole, it's just, for what, there's a million reasons, and we could do like 5 more sports lines on all the different reasons why.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of reasons why, you know, the numbers in high school, like, I don't know the official numbers, but they're dropping. They're not building the way you would love to see them build. So that you know, that's frustrating because it's an awesome sport. I think you're right, like, the popularity and the attention that Caitlin Clark in this area, and the college game, the attention that that's brought to it, will maybe, you know, at some point, well, maybe we'll see some better attendance numbers.
I thought so initially, but I don't think it's going to have the impact, because I just there's, like you said, there's so many other dynamics in play with the just the competition level of what the opportunity is for kids, and where is girls basketball at in the pecking order? I don't know. I mean, you would have a better sample of that. But I think one thing that basketball, both you know, and I think participation numbers, in my opinion, people can say, well, they're, you know, they I know they put out that, hey, these numbers are up here. But I just think, to me, it, you know, just like so many coaches I talk to, they're always have issues with, why aren't more kids going out?
Mm-hmm.
So even so they're still not getting some of the kids to play specific programs. And I know we always have the debate, you know, I still think it's the overlap of other sports. That's just what it is. I'm not going to get an argument. I'm not mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that has something to do with it, with all of these sports that overlap, and you have these other opportunities to play other sports, and you know, because everybody says, well, we want multi-sport athletes. Well, basically, you're a multi-season athlete just playing the same sport. And I'm kind of okay with that if that's what brings joy to a kid, because I don't know if you heard the one morning we had Evan Massey on, the Galesburg coach, and I told Ty, we talked to the Peoria Notre Dame coach and the Lincoln coach this year on Sportsline, just because I'm like, what's going on with these two teams that are just buzzsawing everybody? So I said, when I set up the interview with him, hey, I want to talk to you about, you know, how great your program is this year, and, you know, all the attention you're getting. And then I get him on, and then I'm like, hey, what's the matter with girls basketball numbers? They're like, great. So they get into the conversation. And maybe this is something you can do too. Now that you're not coaching anymore, and Coach Massey stepped down at Galesburg, is I would really like to see somebody go to some kids that aren't playing and say, why don't you play? Like, a good athlete, like if you go to a good athlete at, like, Sherrard, that is a good softball player but doesn't play basketball, and you say, hey, why don't you play basketball?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, I don't like the sport, okay, that's the end of the conversation, cool. But if they say something else – then that gives us an opportunity to say, how can we attack this better? Or if you go to a volleyball kid and say, why don't you play girls basketball? Well, because I want to play travel club volleyball mm-hmm. in the winter. That's my opportunity. Okay. You don't like basketball. No, I like basketball, but I just can't make my schedule work. Those are the type of conversations that I think really have to be had by some of those people. Not me, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying, and I don't know what the, is there an answer to that? I mean, that's the million-dollar
question.
That's
a million-dollar question, yeah.
Because I'm assuming, all programs at Mercer County deal with situations where there are certain kids in that building that should be playing.
Yeah.
That should probably play a sport. If they're not playing that, if you know they're not competing in that specific year. Whatever the sport is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be boys yep. basketball, it can be football or whatever. How do you get those kids to play? What are the conversations does it take?
Yeah. That's a million-dollar question, and I think you're right. Like, look at a program like Rock Ridge, the success that their softball program has had over the years. Well, their basketball team has really, really struggled. You know, there's tons of kids on that softball roster that should probably be playing basketball and don't. Orion with volleyball, I don't know that – I would argue the last couple years you've started to see that at Mercer County, and so I have a fear that over the next handful of years we're going to start to see that more. I don't know what the right answer is, but I think whatever that answer is starts with those types of conversations that you mentioned.
Do you think it's the overlap in terms of the club or travel sports with the other sports, namely I think volleyball and softball, there's a mm-hmm. ton of opportunity to play year round, where you go to some of these as many games as I see at the high school level, you see volleyball kids and you're like, whoa, that kid, what mm-hmm. an athlete, and they don't play basketball or softball or even track and field. You're some of these kids at these small schools could really help just with their athleticism, maybe mm-hmm. not even the basketball skill or whatever. So is that kind of the biggest thing, the biggest reason you see as to why it is just the opportunity and maybe right now volleyball and softball are what kids are kind of choosing?
I think there's a lot of it. But to that, I would say, and I've had girls, I've got girls that play volleyball through basketball season, yeah. but it's all about priorities. They prioritize their in-school season. I think that's a lot of it. I always go back to basketball is just a really freaking hard sport, too. So I think that's probably a part of it as well. And it's a really long season.
That's the other issue that I really look at, that the calendar for both boys – basketball, girls basketball, and even high school wrestling. I think they're up against the calendar. That's one of the big issues. But I always think, too, how can you do it differently as a coach? Because back in the early initial days when all this, started, it was if you ain't going to do it, you ain't playing. I don't need mm-hmm. you. You can't be that way
You cannot.
that's how you have to change and adapt from a coaching standpoint, that you have to now, in my opinion, you have to tell that kid that if you want to play, volleyball in the off season, you can still be a member of this team. I get it's a priority. I want you here. But, and it's tough to probably, as a head coach, give up that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I think basketball is at a point now where they're going to have to make some of those sacrifices to say we're going to allow you to leave as long as you play. Now, I don't like – mm-hmm. I still think the in-season sport – in my opinion, should be the priority. And I think club coaches should understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them say, we get that and we understand that. But then in terms of applying that, no, because we're playing at this club tournament this weekend. And this is the
uh-huh.
most important recruiting one, so you need to be at that one. And that's the other thing, too, that you probably noticed. And I was thinking about it, when we're at the state tournament. You never see, any college coaches there anymore, right? They either go to AAU or they're all worried about the transfer portal, that the high school game has lost that. And I just think, too, the other thing that volleyball and softball win at every time is they have the most fancy stuff. They got the fancy club travel uniforms. They got the fancy softball, uniforms with the home, away, and the alternates. And I'm like, who would want that if you're a kid, to be quite honest? Mm-hmm. So they know the model. They know how to promote the sports. And there's so many of those different club teams you can play on. I mean, how many club basketball teams are there to play on? The Shockers, right?
Yep.
There just aren't that many.
Shout out Jordan Harris, by the way.
Yeah, so I don't know how you, that's the million-dollar question of growing the playing game, because I still think people go to basketball games to watch them. I mean, I still think they're well-attended games, and especially, you know, Mercer County, they follow the fan base. But in terms of getting kids to play, I just don't know how you do it, especially at the girls' level.
Well, before we go to break here, I just want to add, like, so for me this year, too, you talk about the numbers being down and everything, but still, like, I think we broadcast 74 basketball games this year, high school. And I still think, like, the two most fun players to watch for me this year were both girls' players. When you talk about the Bowman girl from West Central, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a player as good as her at the high school level. And then Abington Avon has this freshman who is unbelievable. Her name's Kennedy Quinn. And, like, I just think, like, those the two nights I got to watch them play, I was like, this is incredible. And I think, you know, with that, though, even with, you know, the numbers or whatever, there's still some really, really good players in the area like those two. So just, I know you got a chance to coach against two kids like that. I mean, that's got to help the game, too, players of that caliber, I would say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was funny. We played up at the IH Mississippi Valley Credit Union shootout on a Saturday. And then I think we played West Central at home maybe on Monday. And Mary Flint was at the shootout game. And we were talking after the game. And I said, oh, you got to make sure you come down on Monday because Shelby Bowman's going to be in town. And if you've never seen her play in person, like, what an experience. Because I have never seen a player at that level, at the, you know, at her skill level in high school girls basketball. So coaching against her was a nightmare. Like, we had, you know.
We should have won that game, though, that night, right? Did we almost beat by Central?
Yeah,
was that overtime or no?
It was not. I think if we I am convinced if I had two more minutes, our girls could have pulled that one off. But, yeah, we made a run. But it was like, you know. Our game plan was, okay, let's try to not let Shelby Bowman score more than 25 points. And I thought, Soph Santiago, she played the best defense she possibly could have. Our help defense was fantastic. And that girl scored 41 points it was nothing. Right. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that was just, I mean, like, watching her, like, I remember we talked about, because the post game, the game before, like, you know, I just asked you basically, like, you know, people should come and watch us. And then you said the same thing, basically, like, you know. And for me, I mean, I doubt you'll see a more skilled high school player, boys or girls. I mean, that kid was unreal. You know, she could shoot it from wherever. She could get to the basket, and her passing was so good too. And defensively, I mean, she just is one of those players where, like, you know, she just knows where the pass is going, so she's just always in the passing lane. And I can't imagine how many steals she got this year, too.
And I would add, Jim, to your point earlier about people not really understanding what it takes to play at the next level, Shelby does. And I would say that anytime we arrived at West Central to play them, my girls would make fun of me. I always made us get there like a full hour early, and they thought that was just obscene. But anytime we got to West Central an hour early, Shelby was out shooting in a full sweat, like, just doing the basics. So, you know, it's no surprise that she was at the level she was at, because you could see, you know, the work she was putting in.
And also, she's a three-sport athlete, plays volleyball, absolutely, basketball, and softball.
Yep.
So, all right, we'll take one more break and come back, and we'll wrap it up with Coach Engel after this on WRMJ.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth.
And now, Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes, Hey Dudes, on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
All right, back on the WMJ Sportsline on the Saturday morning leading up to Bid for Bargains, winding down with Coach Engwall stepping down as girls basketball coach at Mercer County. I guess kind of a two-part question here. You're going to go completely cold turkey, stay away for a while and kind of process, and I'm sure you're still processing, and this is an editorial comment I'll make that's kind of a question. You know, I hope you take time off, but I think it would behoove you, in my opinion, if you're going to stay in this community, live in this community, I think you should still play an active role at the youth level. Or even come back and say, hey, maybe I'll coach junior high a couple years. I think we need people like you in the game. Don't know if that's something you'd consider, but I hope you do consider that. But I'm assuming you'll probably take a step back this year and say, I'm just going to, hey, you guys deal with the basketball stuff. I'll try and go cold turkey. And then maybe after a year, we'll see what happens. So what about coming back to the game? I think you'd be perfect to get back at the youth and our junior high level. I loved it when you initially came here and coached junior high. I'm like, that's the kind of personality and person we need, you know, to impact these young ladies here in this district.
I have always said over my 12 years that probably my favorite level to coach was junior high, and I just did it for that 1 year, and I guess I really can't explain why I thought that was so fun, but like, the kids are so impressionable at that age, and they want to learn at that age, and they're still like, they just still have a joy about them, I guess. So that was I have always said that was my favorite level that I've coached, as much as I loved every second of coaching varsity for different reasons, right? But junior high was my favorite. And I've been asked this question, you know, more than one time. What now? Well, I've got some things that I like. I think this year, for sure, I want to take a step back. Whoever the new coach and they build their staff, you know, whoever that's going to be, I think it's really important for it to be theirs, you know, and for them to kind of start to build, you know, their program. I think, like, I don't know that I could step away forever. So you know, while I don't have, like, a time frame or anything, like, I know when I resigned to Mr. Murray and had that conversation, he's like, are you ruling it off? Are you, you know, out forever? And I said, no, I need some time to, you know, take care of myself, I guess, for a while, but I certainly would never rule out coming back and like you said, helping with at the youth level in some way, shape, or form.
And I just know how tough, and I always reflect back to my oldest daughter, says, man, that's such a tough time in life, adolescence, when you're a junior high girl. Mm-hmm. And I just think of how important it is to have an enjoyable experience. And I'll use my youngest daughter, Tegan's an eighth grader, and my hope for that group, what I love about that group, there's a lot of kids at play. And my hope for them is not so much that I want them to have success, but I want them to still be friends when they're seniors in high school and not go their separate ways. That you can still do, you 12 kids can still play in high school as seniors if you want to. You don't have to give up playing.
Yeah.
And that's my hope for them, is keep playing and keep loving one another and being around. And I that makes me so sad when I see kids that play at a young level and they are so happy to be together, and then they get older in high school and they're not together anymore for whatever reason. Because I just think that bond is so awesome. And that's why I think it's so important to have, you know, you say impressionable. Well, we need good people at that level coaching those kids to make an impact, you know, in their lives and, you know, making sure that they continue to play interscholastic athletics. So I hope you consider doing that.
We've got about 2 minutes left, and I have like a little personal anecdote for you too. So this week, they're doing the like fundraiser for the track program, right? So I had a kid reach out to me asking me to donate. Awesome. And they called me, and so I answered, and it's one of your girls basketball players. And I said to her, I said, so what do you, before I hung up, I said, so what do you think about, you know, Coach Engwall stepping down? And she said, she's like, I cried about it because I like Kate so much. And I know, like, for me, I was in high school when you were the varsity coach, and I know kids my age, kids my sister's age, you know, I've never heard anybody like say a bad word about you as a coach or as a person, you know. So I'm sure hearing that stuff like that of kids you've coached and impacted probably means a lot to you.
Yeah, I laugh about this, but like I had mentioned earlier, I didn't allow myself to process any emotions until I actually like allowed the words to come out of my mouth to Mr. Murray. So then I met and I told the girls afterwards, and you know, it was funny. I finished and they sat there in silence, and I'm like, okay, you can go to softball and track now. It's cool. But like they didn't move an inch. So it was like they felt like probably they, you know, they shouldn't leave without saying something, but also they're, you know, teenage kids who didn't know what to say. They finally left, you know, I got a bunch of hugs, and it was like the second they walked out of the door and I'm in Danny Hagan's classroom, and like I just lost it, and I'm like bawling uncontrollably in a tiny high school desk at the front of her room. But like, it's because of things like that, you know, back to those relationships. And then, yes, I've had several comments from like Tessa's group and some other previous players that I've had have reached out and everything. And like, it has been nice to see those, because you hope in the moment that you're making the difference you want to make. But and then kind of the frustrating thing that goes with that is you probably have to wait till those kids get 4 or 5 years older to like think back and reflect and realize. So yes, thank you, Ty. It's been nice to hear things like that.
So we are out of time, unfortunately, but Coach Engel, thanks so much for joining us. By the way, I did donate to the track and field program, by the way, so no one get mad at me. But you know, I've, like I said, you know, I've had so much fun getting to know you and your family, and just thanks so much for all your help with the station throughout the years, Coach Engel. And thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that'll wrap up the WRMJ Sportsline program this morning on WRMJ.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 614-0 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, Sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.